can't figure out how deep and how high and how wide your love is for us. Though we try, we never grasp a full understanding of just how deeply you love us. But we know this, we love you because you first loved us. And we love you because you sent your son to die for us. And we celebrate the Lord Jesus, and we celebrate new life in him and through him. And we rejoice that through him, Father God, we've been given everlasting life. So, Father, we thank you for it and honor you and bless you. As we stand before the mighty word of God tonight, we know your word is no ordinary book. These are no ordinary words. Oh, Father God, these words are alive. Your word is alive, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Father, your word is endued with power. Your word is dripping with anointing. And so, Father, thank you for your word tonight. We're all your people, and this is your pasture. And so, we ask you to feed your people. And Father, we just thank you for the unction, for the utterance as we speak tonight. You know we've prepared ourselves, but thank you for that divine ability to speak into the lives and to the hearts of people tonight. We just yield ourselves over to your spirit, asking you to have your way. And as Brother Tad's already prayed, we thank you for blessing all those with our pastors in Oklahoma City. Thank you for keeping them safe, continuing to use them even at this hour. Father, we're just deeply grateful to you and give you all the glory and the honor for everything that shall be done in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Praise God. How many thankful for all of our worship leaders and our band tonight just coming prayed up? They came anointed. They came ready. Praise God. We appreciate them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many excited about Jesus in this place? How many God's been good to you in here? God been good to three people in here. How many, let me say again, how many of you, God's been good, he's been so good to you, he's been good to you. God's been so good, hasn't he? He is, we serve an awesome God. So tonight's message, the title of tonight's message, Wise Men Still Seek Him. Wise men still seek him. How many of you are wise in this place tonight? Amen. A wise man, a wise woman, they're still seeking the Lord. You know, over in Matthew chapter 2, it's the story of the Magi, the wise men coming from the east. They arrive in Jerusalem, and they get to Jerusalem, and they say, they're asking for where the Christ child is. They're saying, where is he that's been born King of the Jews? They're saying, we saw his star in the east, and we've traveled all this way to worship him. We came here to worship him. They sought him. They sought out the Christ child. I don't know how many months their journey took, but they sought him. And they refused to give up until they found him. And they bought their gifts and they worshiped the Lord. And the scripture says they were wise men who did that. And there's a lot of people, you know, this time of year, people are automatically hustling and bustling. It seems that, you know, when Black Friday comes along, or now they call it Brown Thursday, right? They start, you know, start Thursday now, you know. But when those days come along, it seems that people get to hustling and bustling and shopping, and that's a normal thing. But in the midst of the hustling and the bustling and the shopping, there are people all over the world, all over this community, people who come on to this campus to see the lights. And people are at various stages of seeking the Lord. You know, so many of us here in this place can say, hey, thank God for that day that you found him. How many are glad that day that he came into your life, you opened up your heart to him, he came into your heart, and your life has never been the same. How many would testify, since the day he came into my life has never been the same. I know for me, one Friday night in May 1979, on my knees watching TV, I think I was watching James Robinson on TV. Oh man, and the gospel message became so real to me. On campus, it was my first year. It was my first year at college, and it was the end of my first year at college. And for 6 months prior, my friend Vance and I, we'd been in a Bible study at Rutgers, and in the Bible study, Campus Crusade for Christ had come to Vance's dorm. Vance and I were from the same town. We were from Ewing Township, just outside of Trenton in New Jersey, and we both wound up there at Rutgers. At Vance's dorm, Campus Crusade came and showed a film on Christian dating. And Vance filled out a comment card. And then on the day that he's supposed to meet with the Campus Crusade minister, he and I are on the way to lunch. We're walking to the Commons cafeteria. And Vance says to me, "Oh man, Bill, I forgot, totally forgot. I can't have lunch with you." I said, "What's up?" He said, "I'm supposed to meet this guy, this minister from Campus Crusade for Christ." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "He came to my dorm. He showed a film on Christian dating." I said, "What is that?" He said, "I don't know. I still don't know." He said, "I saw the film, but I still don't know, but I filled out a comment card." And he said, "I know you don't want to go to that." So he said, "I'm going to go meet this guy. I promised him I'd meet him." I said, "No, I'll tag along." So I went along and we met this brother, Ray Good. And Ray, Ray seemed like he was a little intimidated by us, you know. And Ray said he was almost apologetic, you know. But he was saying, "Well, look, you know, guys, if you want to meet in a Bible study, I'd be willing to meet in a Bible study with you each week. But I know you probably wouldn't be interested in that." And so then Vance said, "No, actually, if it's just, you know, 30 minutes a week, I'd be interested." And then I said, "You know, I could figure out 30 minutes a week. I'd come too." He said, "You would? Both of you'd come? And so with that, man, we were coming to Bible study. And each week, Ray would explain the gospel to us in one form or another. But our eyes were so blinded. And I couldn't see what he was saying. He was saying, "You need Jesus. You need a relationship with Jesus." But I was raised Catholic. I thought, "Well, I already believe in God. I couldn't see. I need a relationship. I need a personal, one-on-one, vital, thriving relationship with the Lord of the universe." And I couldn't see. But my eyes were blind. And so for 6 months, he took us Bible study after Bible study, showing us the gospel. And I couldn't see. But I went home in May after school was out that first year, and James Robinson, he was preaching on TV, and man, when he preached on TV and he explained the gospel, just like Ray had all those for 6 months, but just seemed like something opened up. My understanding just opened up. And for the first time I saw it, I mean, I saw it clear. I need Jesus. I need Christ. I need to be in a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. What's missing from my life is the King and the Lord of the universe. I have to personally receive him. It's not enough just to know that he loves me. It's not enough just to know that he died for me. It's not enough just to know that he paid the price for my sin. It's not enough just to know all that. I've got to personally receive him into my life. And man, I asked Jesus to come into my life. And man, he changed my whole world, my whole life. And my family, they were all concerned about me, you know. And my father, he wanted to have a talk with me. He said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "There's nothing wrong with me, Dad. I found Christ." And back that time, you know, 79, my dad had a 78 Trans Am, you know, where the T tops would come out of that thing. And he and I, we would take turns on the weekends. You know, one weekend it was his car, one weekend it's my car. And that car, man, you were cool. When you rode down the street, and that, man, I'm telling you, that motor was humming, and oh man, that thing would giddy up, and I mean, that car would turn heads. But you know, after I met Jesus, none of that seemed to bother me. It just seemed to matter to me anymore. Said, it's all right. I told my dad, I don't want it. He said, "Well, it's your weekend." "Nah, I don't want it." And he told me, "What's wrong with you? Something's wrong. He said, you don't want the Trans Am. He said, "You don't do this. You don't do that. You're not, he said, "You never were a big drinker. He said, "You don't drink anything." He said, "You don't want it." He said, "Well, something's wrong with you." And I said, "Nothing wrong with me. I found Jesus. I met Jesus. And I just don't need it. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't have a need for that. I am just so excited about the Lord." Oh, no, my dad didn't want to hear that. "Don't tell me nothing about no Jesus." You know, he told me, he said, "You're not going to be able to make any money following Jesus." That's what he told me. He said, "Boy, you in college, you ain't going to make no money following Jesus." He said, I can tell you what a black engineer will make coming out of college. But I can't tell you what somebody following Jesus will make coming out of college. And I told him, I said, "I don't care what a black engineer will make coming out of college." And I already knew. I said, "But Dad, I'm called to be a preacher. I'm called to be a minister." Oh man, he didn't want to hear that. Oh man. You think I started World War III with that statement? The only thing worse in his eyes at that time, the only thing worse than giving my life to Jesus was then becoming a preacher. He told me, I'll never forget, he said, "Do you know how broke preachers are?" That's what he told me. He said, preachers have the worst of everything, Bill. Preachers have to go around life with their hands in their pockets begging. They have the worst of everything in life. They never have a thing of their own. They're always busted. They're always broke. Preachers never have a thing. I said, Dad, I don't know what preachers you've been exposed to, but that ain't going to be me. I said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm not worried about that, but I know that God will always take care of me. And so we went back and forth, you know. Oh, man. And my dad told me, he said, Bill, I am serious. I'm not supporting you anymore in college. You are on your own. He said, you follow this Jesus stuff, you're on your own. I'm withdrawing every dime of support. You're going to have to pay your way through school. You're going to have to do it all yourself. I'm not going to help you a penny. He said, I am cutting you off from this second. I said, Dad, God is my provider. God will help me. God will see me through. I love you. But I said, I am following Jesus. And I said, I know you don't like it. I know you don't agree with it. And I love you anyway. And so he left. And a couple of weeks later, he called. We didn't talk for a couple of weeks, and we talked all the time then. And we didn't talk for a couple of weeks. And then he told me, he said, son, I'm sorry. He said, I just feel bad. I'm wrong. He said, but this Jesus stuff just caught me off guard. You becoming a Christian, we don't need that. You don't need that. I don't see how you're going to make it. He said, I still disagree. I still disagree vehemently with you. I disagree with your decision to follow Jesus. I disagree with your decision to become a preacher. I disagree with it 100%. But he said, I do feel I was wrong to threaten you like that, to cut you off. And he said, you know, son, you're right. It's your life. You have to live it. And he says, I have to, you know, I just had such high hopes for you being an engineer. And I said, Dad, you know, I understand that. And I know you think I'm going to be broke all my life. I said, I haven't been broke up to this point. I ain't planning to be broke as I go through the future. I remember years later when my dad got saved. I remember him calling me crying. I remember with just tears, him apologizing. I remember him just saying, I couldn't see it, Bill. I couldn't see it. I remember him years later saying, son, the greatest blessing in our family happened when you became a Christian. You bought so many of the rest of us in. But we argued with you and we gave you a hard time initially. And he said, here the Lord not only bought you in to the fold and then we could follow you in, he said, but really the Lord added a preacher to our family. He said, I've been doing some family research and history. And he said, do you know your great grandfathers on both sides, on your mama's side and on my side, they were both preachers. And he said, we've gone all these decades, all these generations in our family without a preacher until God put his hand on you. And he said, it was the very thing I tried to keep you from doing. And he said, I'm just so embarrassed. I said, oh, Dad, you didn't know. You didn't know. Don't even give it another thought. I remember my mama. And she'd check on me. My mom and dad were divorced. And so I'd spend part of my time when I was home from college, part of my time with my dad, part of my time with my mom. And my mama, she would open my bedroom door, she'd see me reading the Bible. And one time my mama said, she said, Bill, she said, you know, you were reading that Bible this morning. And she said, now, you know, you going to bed, you're reading the Bible. She said, now, don't get me wrong. I know the Bible is a good book. The Bible is a good book. She said, there's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. She said, but do you know you could lose your mind reading the Bible? I said, oh, mama, I said, I'm gaining my right mind. I'm being renewed in my mind reading the Bible. I said, I need to read more of the word, not less of the word. She said, no, baby, you're going to lose your mind reading that Bible. Don't read that Bible like that. Don't read that Bible. I remember later in life after my mama got born again. I remember her saying, baby, I'm so sorry. I just didn't know. I didn't know. I remember right after she got born again, my mama on the phone with her girlfriend saying, girl, it's real. It's real. That stuff he talk about God, that stuff is real. He's saying wise men still seek him. Not everybody has sincerity when they seek the Lord. There's so many people seeking the Lord today, so many people who are hurting, who have legitimate needs, who have questions, and somehow things in life have hurt them and scarred them, and they've been bruised and beaten and battered, and they have questions, and they need God, and some people want to know God, and they just don't know he's real. They were like me. I was just blinded. I didn't know. And the thing is, when you're sincere, when you seek God and you are sincere, oh man, God will answer you. God, he'll find you out. When you're sincere about it, God, he will find you. You could be hiding under a rock. God will roll that rock back and find you and reveal himself when you're sincere. But we have a lot of false seekers today. Folk who claim, yeah, I want to know God. If I knew God, I'd follow God. I want to know God, blah, 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 blah. And the moment the Lord revealed himself to them, they ain't going to do nothing different than they're doing right now. They were asking Jesus over in John 17. They were saying, this teaching that you have, has it come from God? Are you teaching your own? Is this teaching from you? Or did it really come from God? And John 7:17, Jesus said, if any man is first willing to do God's will, then he'll know of the teaching, whether I'm speaking on my own or whether it's come from God. Jesus put that caveat in there that deals with a man's sincerity, the sincerity of a man or woman's heart. He said, if you're first willing, are you willing to obey it? Are you willing to follow it? If you're willing to obey it, you'll know whether it's come from God or not. And if you're seeking after the Lord, you need God's help in some way tonight. Oh man, he's waiting to help you. I said, he's lined up to help you. But the question is, are you really sincere about it, or are you just playing around? Because if you're just playing around, then, you know, you just go on another trip around the merry-go-round, you know, just going around again. Because you'll never find him. But the moment you become sincere, the moment you say, if I really know, I'll follow you, look out. God will reveal himself. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon, attempting to find the real purpose and meaning in life and checking various things and extremes and measures and pleasures, trying to find the real meaning of life, he can't find it. And he says this in Ecclesiastes 2, 21. He says, come on, let's try pleasure. In other words, saying, let's see if pleasure is the answer to life. Let's see if pleasure is the main thing in life. Let's see if pleasure is the main thing you should go after. And he says this in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 21. Let's look for the good things in life, but I found this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? Verse 3, it's Ecclesiastes 2, and I'm in verse 3 now. I'm sorry, forgive me. I started at verse 1, now I'm in verse 3. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 3. Verse 2, what good does it do to seek pleasure? Verse 3, after much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. Now watch this. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. And in this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I'm reading from New American Standard. Solomon says, in my quest to find true happiness, true meaning, true purpose in life. And, you know, in the end, he discovers it only comes through God. It only becomes, you know, he says at the end of Ecclesiastes, the only way to find true happiness is through God, through a relationship with God. Amen. Everything else is just foolishness. Everything else apart from Christ, apart from God, just foolishness. And so he says when he got to this part on pleasure, seeking after pleasure, maybe the true meaning to life, the true purpose in life is to seek pleasure. Maybe that's it. He says, I took some wine. I drank some wine to cheer myself. And he says, but after I drank the wine, I clutched to foolishness. And a lot of people try that today. A lot of people think, well, my answer's in the bottle. There's so much pressure in life. If I can just get away from life for a little while by taking what's in this bottle and just forget about life for a little while. But he says when he tried to cheer himself with wine, he says, I clutched to foolishness, and that's exactly what will happen to you. You'll be grasping, you'll be clinging, you'll be looking and groping, but it'll all be foolishness. Until you put that bottle down, until you put that joint down, until you put those prescription pills down, whatever it is got you hooked, until you put that down. And a lot of times today, you know, people think, well, I'm gonna drink my problems away. I'm gonna forget about life for a while. But you know what? By the time you drink, and the thing is, alcohol is a depressant, first of all, and you have to come down off of that. And when you come down, you know what's happened to your problem? Your problem's only gotten bigger. You're trying to swim in that alcohol, trying to get away from your problem. And your problem appears to be the size of a rowboat. But after you drink that and come down, when you look back, you've got a whole big destroyer behind you. Your problem's not going worse. Your problem's not getting better. Your problem's getting worse. You're just delaying temporarily. Destruction is coming. Oh, but through Jesus, through Christ, he offers us something tonight. Oh, that's better than anything any wine bottle's got for you. Oh, through Jesus, through the precious Holy Spirit of God, he offers you a wine that's a spiritual wine. It's a holy wine. It's a new wine. Through Jesus, he offers you something that can conquer your fears and overcome all of the woes and things that are chasing you. Through Christ, he can deliver you and set you free. I said, Jesus is the answer. You ain't gonna find your answer in that bottle. But if you'll seek him with sincerity, over in Psalm 105 verse 4, run with me faster now. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, search for the Lord and for his strength, continually seek him. I like that. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he's near. You know what God is saying? Call me now. Ask for my help right now. Don't wait. It's going to be worse when you wait. Ask for my help right now. Psalm 22, verse 26. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It's impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Wise men still seek him. Let me say this to you real quick. Number one, if you seek him, you'll find him. That's my first point, really. If you seek him, you'll find him. Yes, you will. What I mean is if your heart is right, if your motive is right, if you are sincere in your heart, if you are willing to do his will, if you seek him, you will find him. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Some versions say knock and keep on knocking. And sometimes when you're seeking after the Lord, listen, you have to seek for him with all your heart. And the thing about it is some people give up too soon. He's right there, but you don't give up too soon. Don't give up before your blessing comes. You understand what I'm saying? I know JP and I have the pleasure of having him here tonight. Usually he's on his way back to school, but the roads are all iced over and they canceled class tomorrow, so I get to hang out with my buddy an extra night. And but the other night he came home, and my birthday we hung out and played golf together. We had a great day. We had a great day together. We went to Oklahoma City and we ate at Kevin Durant's restaurant. But when we got to Oklahoma City, I'm going to tell you this. Man, parking was terrible. Parking, I mean, they want $25, $20. Far, way, way, way far away, they want $10.
Everywhere you go, even if you're going into like a little strip mall, you're not going to the game. Somebody's not going to the game. They still make you pay for parking. When we went to Kevin Durant's place to eat, this wait, it's a good distance away from the arena. And then we said, well, we're going to eat now. We're not going to the game now. We're going to the game later. We're just going to eat. He said, oh, you still got to pay. But then we're going to leave and go park somewhere else. You still got to pay. He said, you military? I said, no, a preacher. He said, oh, come on through. Go on through. I said, okay, thank you. Praise God. But no, but on the way there, what are you saying? I'm talking about seeking God, not giving up too soon. You know, so on the way there, I knew it was going to be busy parking. So I'm saying, Lord, when we get to the game, I'm believing you for a parking space. We need a good parking space. Because I don't want to spend $25. I'd rather spend $25 on a hot dog. If it costs that. But I don't know, just something about parking. I don't want to pay for parking. Anyway, I'm asking the Lord early, Lord, bless us with a parking space when we get down there. I'm just believing you for a parking space down there. Oh, man, we drove all around, didn't we, JP? We must drove about five places trying to park. Would you say five? How many places? We go five places, you know, $25. And then it looks like, oh, there's a place to park. There's nobody coming out to charge you. Somebody pops out. 25. Okay, we turn the car. I must have done that five times. I said, JP, God's got a parking space for us. I ain't giving up. I prayed on the way here. I just know he's got a parking space for us. So we went to another lot, said it's all full. All the cars are full. The parking lot attendants are still out there with the signs, but it says the lot is full. I saw a car with backup lights in there. So I just pulled, I whipped in there, and I asked the person, how much is it? So the guy, he looked at me, and then he saw the truck with the backup lights, and then looked back at me, and he just said, ah, go on through. No charge. So I didn't have to pay for parking. Praise God. Amen. But I could have given up and went ahead and paid for parking. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I said, seek, keep on seeking, and you'll find. Knock, keep on knocking. I wish I had an amen. Sometimes we give up a little too soon. And so if you seek him, you'll find him. Over in Luke 24, there's a story that Jesus tells, and it's one of my favorite stories. You've heard me share parts of the story before. And it's about two brothers after Jesus has risen from the dead, and they're all disillusioned, all the disciples are, and they are confronted with the reality that Jesus has died, and they're thinking, we don't know that he's risen, and there are doubts in their hearts and minds, and they can't see him anymore. And these two brothers, Cleopas is one of them in Luke 24, he and this other brother, they start walking to Emmaus. The Bible tells us Emmaus is 7 miles away, and on the way they are complaining. And they're talking about all the things that apparently didn't go right. And the Bible says, while they're talking, Jesus walks right up among them, and they don't know it's him. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And they say, we're talking about Jesus, how he was crucified, and all the things that were said about him, and all the things that happened. And they said, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hadn't heard? And Jesus keeps baiting them, asking them to tell him more. And then he says this, oh, foolish and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken, all that the word of God tells you. And verse 25, Luke 24, 45, he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now that must have been an awesome time. You see what it says there though? It doesn't say he just said, you should have believed in me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I rebuke your lack of faith, blah, blah, blah. It says, you were slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. He's talking about the word. And verse 26 says, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And 27, then beginning with Moses. What's the Bible say when it says, then beginning with Moses? What's that mean? Somebody tell me. You talk to me. What's that? Genesis. Well, Genesis is a part of it. When the Bible says, then beginning with Moses. It's talking about the scripture. Then beginning with Moses. What's it mean? Yeah, it's talking about the Pentateuch. It's talking about the first five books of the Bible. When he says, then beginning with Moses, it means the Pentateuch, the first five books. So it says he started there with Moses, with those first five books. Look at that. Verse 27, we're in Luke 24, 27. Then beginning with Moses
and all the prophets. Well, he's talking about Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the major prophets and the minor prophets and Amos. He's talking about all of the things that have already been written in Scripture. And so 27 again, then beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the Scriptures. Wow, are you serious? Jesus took them and he took them on a Bible tour through Scripture after Old Testament Scripture that was fulfilled prophecy in himself. He explained the Old Testament in the light of who he was to them. He wanted them to see him through the pages of Scripture. I wish I had an amen in here. It's the same thing and just as critically important for you and I today that we see him. I said, if you seek him, you'll find him. Where are you going to find him? First, you're going to find him on the pages of Scripture. I said, I wish I had an amen. The first place you need to find the Lord is on the pages of Scripture. Because Scripture is our bedrock. Heaven and earth are going to pass away one day, but not God's holy word. And he explained himself. It was so important. Think how important it must have been for him to take that amount of time and explain himself through the Scriptures to them. And so, if you seek him, you're going to find him. But the first place you need to look is in the Bible. The Bible is God's word. It's his personal word to you. The Bible's no ordinary book. The Bible's no compilation of outdated, dry, dusty, meaningless, poetic words. The Bible is a book of words that have been breathed and inspired by God himself. And the Bible is full of life. The Bible's words are dripping with anointing. The Bible's words are filled with dunamis power. And when a believer gets hold of the words that have been inspired in this book, and then you believe it down in your heart, past your mind, in your heart, and then have the nerve, don't put it on your tongue. If you believe it in your heart and put it on your mouth, look out. Something's going to change. Something's going to change. Something will change on your job. Something will change in your family. Something will change in your finances. Something will change in your body. You get this word in your heart coming out of your mouth, something's going to change. If you seek him, you will find him. But the first place you're going to find him, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. Listen, the first place you're going to find him is in God's holy word. And if you'll make God's word your final authority about everything and then begin to seek him through his word, oh, then you're going to find him. Then you're going to find him. You won't be lonely no more because you'll see him in the word. I wish I had an amen. You won't be broke no more because things will change through the word. Your fear will flee away from you because you'll see he's with me. If God be with me, who can be against me? If you'll see him in the word. If you seek him, you're going to find him. But first you have to seek him in the word. Secondly, real quick, look, secondly, if you find him, this is my second point to you. If you find him, you'll see him. What was your first point? If you seek him, you'll find him. Where are you going to find him? In the word. What's your second point again? If you find him in the word, if you find him, you'll see him. Amen. What do you mean by that? Listen, sometimes people, they come to God, and after they come to God, they realize how awesome and powerful he is. And then God feeds them. He pampers all of us. He changes all of our diapers when we're young babes in Christ. And he helps us, and he puts up with us. But then comes that time when God wants us to grow in him. He wants us to mature in him. And sometimes people continue to seek what God can do for them. It's really, some people call that seeking his hand. What can you give me? And sometimes people are serving him just because of what he gives them. And see, if that's the only reason you serve God, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short. You're going to be disappointed. Because he is an awesome God and there's no provider like our God. Let's just say that. He is Jehovah Jireh and there's no doubt about that. But the reality is God does not want you and I just to seek him for what he can do for us. There ain't nobody better than him at what he does for us. And we could go to heaven just thanking him for all the stuff that he already done. But the thing about it is, if you just seek in his hand, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? Well, God, what have you done for me lately? There's something lacking in that relationship.
And God says, listen, a better thing to do, instead of seeking my hand, my provision is always going to be there for you. God says, you're my child. I'll provide. But God says, instead of seeking my hand, I want you to seek my face. Because you see, when you seek my face, you're after who I am. You're not after what I can do. You're after who I am. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. And when you see him like that, Psalm 27 verse 8 says, when you said, New American Standard, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. I like that. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Amen. Don't seek his hand. His hand will always be there. His hand, the blessing, will always be there. Seek his face. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. If you find him, this is my second point, you'll see him. Where will you see him? See, if you seek him, you'll find him. Where? In the pages of Scripture. If you find him, you'll see him where? In every area of your life. If you learn to see him first on the pages of Scripture, then you'll see him in other areas of your life. And just I just shared a simple example, one little example, about us going to a basketball game the other day. But you know, I saw the hand of the Lord at the parking lot, getting my little parking lot thing. But the thing is, if you find him, you'll see him. You'll see him. Your eyes will be open. You'll see the Lord is helping you in so many areas. The Lord, just keep seeking his face. You'll see he's helping you everywhere. If you seek his face, you'll see his hand all around you blessing you. Seek his hand and it'll be dry. You'll just be going around the mulberry bush after a while. He'll do some things because of his mercy and love, but just seek his hand, you'll just go around in circles. But the moment you stop seeking his hand and seeking his hand will be all over the place, providing for you here, providing for you there, opening up doors over here. Those brothers on the Emmaus Road, on the rest of that story, you know what the Bible says in verse 31 of Luke 24? It says that their eyes were opened after he broke bread with them. He broke bread and then their eyes were opened. They recognized him and he disappeared just like that. And then they got up and went back to Jerusalem to tell their friends that they had seen the Lord, that he really was risen from the dead. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And if you find him, you'll see him in every area of your life. He'll open your eyes. You'll be able to see him. Mary saw him one day, but Mary didn't realize it was him. Mary thought it was the gardener. She was so overcome by emotion. She was so busy crying about the Lord, she couldn't see. Jesus is right in front of her. He's talking to her right in front of her, and she called him the gardener. She said, you must be the gardener. Where have they taken my Lord? She's talking to Jesus. But when you seek his face, you'll stop calling him the gardener. And you'll see he's right there. He's talking to you. So when you seek his face, God will have the ability to speak to you. One of your friends can say something and that will be God. And you say, oh man, that was the Lord. Oh, that was the Lord spoke to me. Spoke to me right through you. If you seek him, you'll find him. If you find him, you'll see him. Finally, if you see him, you'll serve him. That's my last point. We're around in third, headed toward home. If you see him, you'll serve him. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone? Verse 26, Matthew 16, verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some are standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. If you see him, oh man, you'll serve him. Galatians 2:20. Last scripture for you today. Galatians 2:20. We've run out of time. Galatians 2:20.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, Paul wrote. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You know what that is? If you see him, you'll serve him. Right. With every head bowed in this place, over in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says this. I want to read you one last scripture. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in the latter days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. The Lord your God, he's a merciful God, and he will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed with them by oath. I wonder if anybody's here today and you say, you know, brother, I really need the Lord in some area of my life. I really am seeking him. I wonder if you're here today and you say, I even know what it's like to have received Jesus. I've received Jesus before, but I've turned around. I've gone the wrong way now. I've gone the wrong way and I've come seeking again. I need the Lord. I know he's a merciful God, but I don't want to drift out here. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. If you're in this place, you say, I was following Christ. I was living for God, but I know, and you know God's dealing with you in some area. God's dealing with you. Let me see your hand. Lift your hand high where I can see you. I want to make it right with God. I want to get things right with God. Lift your hand high. I want to make sure I see it. I don't want to miss your hand. I want to make things right. Yeah, I see your hand. Thank you. I want to make it right with God. Show me your hand. I need prayer. I want you to pray for me. I'm seeking the Lord, but I'm sincere. I'm one of the sincere ones you were talking about. I want to make it right tonight. I want to make it right. Show me your hand. Don't want to go on another day. Maybe you're here in this place and you say, I have never made that decision. Like you talked about, you were in 1979. I've been blind. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I've never made that decision. And I want to make that decision for the first time tonight. You say, I want to make that decision to come to Christ. Let me see your hand. I want to receive Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Yeah. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, I've heard about the precious baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I've come, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I want to be prayed for to receive the precious Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit, but I want to be filled with him. Let me see your hand if you're here tonight. Okay, listen, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to just be bold about it. Just be, you among family here, you among family and friends. You know God's dealing with your heart. I want you to do something for me now. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Listen. You just raised your hand. I want you to do something for me. Stand right up on your feet right now. God's going to help you. God said if you're sincere, if you really seek him, you're going to find him. He's going to help you. Oh, man, he's going to help you. Just stand right up on your feet. Just boldly stand right up on your feet. Stand right up on your feet. You had your hand up on any of those calls there. Just stand up on your feet. I want you to do something for me. Oh, come on down here and let me pray for you. Don't be ashamed. Don't you be embarrassed. Don't you be afraid. Every head still bowed, except for the ones coming up. Come on down here. You had your hand up. Come on down here. Let God help you. Oh, man, don't turn away from him helping you now. Oh, man, God's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. You're either sincere or you're not sincere. If you're not sincere, take another trip around the mulberry bush. But if you're sincere, oh, God's going to help you. He's going to help you tonight. That's right. Come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't let anything, anybody make you ashamed. That's right. Come on. Come on, God's going to help you. God's going to help you. You're coming for the Lord. God's going to help you. He's going to see you through. Praise God. He's going to help you. Come right on up here, buddy. God is going to help you, man. I know that's a long walk, but God is going to make it worth your while. God is going to make it worth your while. You know him? Are you coming? Right? You're coming. Do you guys know each other? You're coming. This is your wife. Okay, yes. Wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. God's got some good things in store for your family. Oh, man. God's going to help you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God's got some. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. I just sense. Man, the step. You guys took a step. And I know it's tough to take that step. But God is going to help you and make it so worth it. I just want you to lift one hand to him, because we're signifying my help comes from you. I'm just a man. But God is the one who's going to help you. God's the one who's gonna work in your life. I'm going to say a prayer out loud. Yeah, come right on up here, brother. Come right on up here. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. And I'm going to say a prayer. And I just want you to say it out. Just mean it just sincerely out of your heart. Just going to repeat it out loud after me. You ready? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to take me in. Forgive me of everything I've done wrong. You see my whole life, and I lay my life before you. And I ask you to pick my life up, to cleanse me by the blood of Jesus, and make me the person you want me to be. And then fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I will live for you. I will serve you every day of my life. Thank you for honoring your word, because you said if I would ask you with a sincere heart, then you would do it. And based on your word, you've come into my life. You've come into my heart. You've forgiven all of my sins. And I thank you and rejoice now and forevermore. Father, I thank you for every one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your power at work in them, Father God. I thank you for helping them, delivering them, putting your favor and hand upon them. I thank you for turning around adversity. I thank you for strengthening them in their body, in their finances, in their mind. Father God, I thank you for helping them in every area of their life. Father, turn their lives around. Set them on fire for you. Thank you for it, Father. We bless you and honor you and reverence you, yes, in the Lord. Mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh man. Oh man. There's a door that's just been opened for you all. And God is going to usher you through that door.
Thank you, Jesus.
And his blessing and his hand and his help and his provision and all of who he is. Oh man. You'll mark tonight.
Thank you.
You'll see tonight as a turning point in your life. And so we just bless you guys. God bless you. Man, oh man, I know it was a long walk down here. I know it. But God's helping you.
Thank you, man.
If you'll turn around, these are prayer room workers. This is Brother Paul. And Paul is going to take you to a place of prayer with these guys. They're going to answer any question, give you free materials, and just help you in any way, okay? If you'll go with him right now, God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just point your hand toward him. Father, we thank you for him. We just honor you. We just bless you. Oh, Father God, we just give you the glory. Father, help them. Oh, Father God, answer their questions and minister to them in a way that they know you're real. And they know, oh, Father God, you've affected their lives tonight. You've invaded their world tonight. And their lives will never be the same. And may they be filled with the precious Holy Spirit, with that initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, Father God. Help them and bless them in every area of their life. We'll be careful. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, this is a good time, and God is a good time. When I say a good time in life. And this is, to know Christ is the greatest of positions to be in. If you seek him, you'll find him. And if you find him, you'll see him. And if you see him, you'll serve him. And I tell you, it won't be anything you're going through that God won't get you out of. Stand up, lift one hand to the Lord now. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't think we had any visitors. Before we go, do we have any visitors? Wave your hand at me real big. If you were a visitor and you didn't hear Pastor Tad at the beginning, or you came in later, anybody, first time guests? Anybody? Do we have somebody? Are you clapping? Because we do. Okay, so let's have one of our connection team members go with them. We got a gift for you. We want to bless you on behalf of Pastor Mrs. Hagen, congregation here. And if you'll just go with them, then we have a great gift for you. And we'll just give you a moment to get out. Listen, this is a great holiday season. Don't let anything put you in bondage.
I know the world's out there that's full of traps everywhere you go. Don't spend more money than you have. Find your joy in Jesus. You can't get joy out of a Cadillac. There's nothing wrong with a Cadillac, but it can't give you joy. It might give you some temporary earthly happiness, but real joy can only come from Jesus. Don't lose your holiday joy in this season. And look for the Lord and find him in all that you do. And I tell you, this will be the most glorious holiday season. Lift one hand to him. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, you're the only wise God. To you be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father God, keep us safe. Protect us all as we go. Guard those up in Oklahoma City. We just entrust ourselves to you and thank you for your many mercies and blessings in our lives. We seek your face and we honor and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right, my friends, I think that's it for tonight. You'll be right here Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, and then 10 o'clock morning worship. We love you all, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.